Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of United We Fall. We are still investigating the first portion of our study concerning the answer of Pastor J.D. Greer about what compelled him to have this interface meeting or dialogue meeting or Veritas Forum, which is Truth Forum, or whatever name you want to give to it, with Imam Omar Suleiman. It is Muslims and Christians sitting next to each other, talking to each other. It is simply a dialogue we ought not to do because it is not fruitful, and most importantly, it is not biblical. We must realize that the only thing that should compel us to share the truth of the gospel, not only with the Muslims, but with every lost person, it is the love of Jesus Christ. And because He paid for our sins and He commands us to carry that good news to the rest of the world, that is why we must do it. But in the case of the Muslims, you cannot just throw this truth at them because, first of all, they already know it. There is not one Muslim in America today that hasn't heard about the truth of Christianity. That Jesus is God Almighty who came in the flesh and He died on the cross and He was buried and He rose again on the third day. This is not new information for the Muslims. And we must share it with them. But first, we must point out to them the errors of their belief system. Like their Allah is not God, their Muhammad is not a prophet, their Quran is not a holy book. Then they will hear and accept the truth which we share with them about our beliefs. First, they must recognize that they are lost people who needed to be found in Jesus Christ. So once again, Pastor J.D. Greer, the message of the hope of Christianity will not go through the head of the Muslims until they know for sure that they are lost, hungry, and thirsty for the truth of the gospel. As for the third reason that compelled Pastor J.D. Greer to have this dialogue, he said,
"And the third reason is my wife told me I had to." And so I said yes.
Well, can't argue with that.
Obviously, Pastor J.D. Greer here is trying to be funny by telling the audience that his wife told him he had to do this goodwill dialogue, and that's why he did it. Now, I wish Pastor J.D. Greer had spoken to someone who knows something about Muslims and Islam before he got himself into the trouble of meeting, eating dinner, and talking with that Muslim Imam Omar Suleiman, because he has made a great error, an error he will regret the rest of his life if he understood what this will lead to. And let me share with you another biblical truth of what I am trying to teach you here. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning from verse 6 to verse 11, we read, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." And that is exactly what the Southern Baptist and every Christian believer in America ought to do. Because the opposite of that is what's happening. For here in this forum, we see that the Southern Baptists will bow down to the Muslims and fight for the Muslims. and the right for the Muslims to build mosque in America, and the right for the Muslims to be president in America, and the right for the Muslims to be the Senate and the Congress and the mayor and the governor in America. It is simply giving Muslims America. It is simply digging our graves for the Muslims to bury us in the near future. That's exactly what Pastor J.D. Greer did in this meeting. Now let's move on to the answer of Imam Omar Suleiman to learn what compelled him to come and spend 2 hours of his life conversing with Pastor J.D. Greer.
Omar, why did you decide to participate tonight?
He took my two reasons.
My wife also talked to you, is that right?
Oh, that's funny. Well, first of all, I want to convey greetings to everyone on behalf of Zion Williamson. Zion was in Dallas.
It's the wrong place to say that. I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
Way to lose the crowd right away.
Now, do you see the beauty of dialoguing, laughing, and being funny and being friendly? Even if you do not know what they're talking about, what do you feel about that? Except now we see unity between the leader of the Baptist church and the leader of the Muslims, getting together, having a nice talk, socializing together. This is just beautiful. Don't you love that? Obviously, the answer must be no. But now, listen again to Pastor J.D. Greer, who stated,
"Hey, I will tell them this. We found out over dinner that Omar and I have a mutual friend in Matt Chandler. Yeah. And so some of you know Matt Chandler. He's a pastor out where Omar lives in Texas. So I took a picture and sent it to him. Matt immediately texted back and said, that's good people right there. He said, you guys are pretty close. He said he's a great guy, except his words, not mine, if the fact that he is a rabid LSU fan, which is kind of annoying and makes him a punk. That's what he said. So
that's the forum.
Sports can divide, right? Sports can unite and sports can divide.
So now we learn from Pastor J.D. Greer that a mutual friend told him that Imam Omar Suleiman is good people. That's another minister who also has the same belief as Pastor Greer. Who are good people? How in the world you can lead a Muslim to Christ when you tell him openly like that he is a good person, but then later you're going to tell him you're a sinful man? It does not work this way. Flattering does not help lost people to get saved. And that is the problem I have with dialogue. Can you imagine if that dialogue was a debate where we can get in a serious talk, exposing the darkness of Islam and showing the light and the love of Jesus Christ to the lost world? That's why Muslims in America like dialogue and they will never do debates. In any way, here is the answer of Imam Omar Suleiman about why he was compelled to do this dialogue.
So for me, it was a matter of, I feel like right now people have lost the ability to talk to each other. Americans in general don't talk to each other anymore. They don't know how to talk to each other. And if anything, our politics perpetuates that. Being in the year 2020 in particular, divisive politics thrives off of keeping the country divided. Social media perpetuates that ability for all of us to sort of just retreat to our echo chambers. And so anytime conversation can be created, even if it's between groups that typically don't talk, even if it's between leaders that typically would not be expected to be in the same space, we need to demonstrate that longitude, that we're able to, you know, transition. And as someone who believes deeply in my faith, and I, you know, God tells us to always respond with good, to always have our hands extended. So when anyone calls and says, let's talk, we should talk, and we should find a way to work together on the common good.
Well, let us stop here to analyze what Imam Omar Suleiman is telling us. The reason he was compelled to do this dialogue is because people are not dialoguing. People are not talking anymore. It is hard and it is difficult for people to talk. So any and every opportunity will be open for him to be involved in talking. He will be talking. Wow, that's a good reason. And obviously this is a ridiculous reason, because I know, and if you understand Islam, you ought to know that the reason Muslims are talking in America is because they are practicing pillar number 6 in Islam, which is the pillar of da'wah. And this word means invitation. They are talking to invite the American people to believe in Islam. Then Imam Omar Suleiman inserts some hogwash Islam in the midst of his talk. That's when he said, as someone who believes deeply in my faith, once again, Islam is not faith, Imam Omar. Islam is a savage cult. But then listen to what he said. God tells us to always respond with good, to always have our hands extended. Where is that? First of all, it's not God. You really meant Allah. And this must be somewhere in the Quran. And I'm not very familiar for where in the Quran did Allah taught the Muslim believers to always respond with good and always had their hand extended. Means they're willing to give. They are willing to do what is good. You see, it's very easy for Imam Omar to take this golden opportunity to dialogue with someone who will not argue with him, someone who just being polite and being nice, and that's what is normally happening in dialogue. You don't argue with people when you just have a chat. You argue when you're doing debate. So he's telling us something nice about Allah and something good about Islam. So Pastor J.D. Greer has to let it go. If I had a debate with him, I would have stopped him and say, excuse me, Imam Omar, where can we find that in the Quran? Find what? About God tell you always to respond with good. Because this teaching does not exist in the Quran.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Now I can share with you in the next 5-6 hours many of the teachings of Allah in the Quran to respond with evil, especially towards Jews and the Christians. Why? Because they are infidels. And it is the duty of every Muslim is to perform jihad against the infidels, to wipe them out from the face of the earth, as Allah not just tells the Muslims to get rid of the infidels, but commands the Muslims to do so. And once again, this is written throughout the pages of the Quran. And we always encourage our dear Muslim friends and you, our listeners, to read the entire Quran to get the proof of our point. Then Imam Omar Suleiman said, we should find a way to work together for the common good. Work together? Muslims, jihadis, Muslim brotherhood like Imam Omar Suleiman is going to work together with Pastor J.D. Greer, with the Christians of America, to do common good? Please give me a break. And what is the common good in Islam? The common good is to obey Allah. The common good is to obey Muhammad. The common good for Muslims to make the religion of Allah the supreme religion. And everybody else must be removed from the face of the earth. That is the common good. If that is acceptable to Pastor J.D. Greer, well, go for it. Continue to talk with Imam Omar to be deceived and to be used as useful idiot to deceive the rest of the Americans. Well, now let's move on to the next part of the answer of Imam Omar Suleiman. That is when he said,
I also feel like if we build relationships and we actually start to get to that point where we're on first name, we're on a first name basis, and you know, I don't know about calling each other punks, but we haven't quite
Matt's words.
Matt's words, yeah. But once we're able to really trust each other, right? Because there's a great degree of suspicion and mistrust, and often what happens because of what's taking place in the social media age is that you spend so much time peeling those layers of mistrust before you can have an authentic conversation. So if we're able to get past that, then we can help not just find the similarities that we can cooperate on, but also discuss those differences in that same spirit of love and understanding, and come to a place where we can harmonize those particulars and not necessarily further polarize our society.
The second reason why Imam Omar Sliman did this dialogue with Pastor J.D. Greer is simply because he wants to be able to really trust each other. Excuse me, what do you mean trust each other? He said, there is a great degree of suspicion and mistrust, and often what happened because of what's taking place in the social media age is you spend so much time peeling those layers of mistrust before you can have an authentic conversation. What is mistrust? Why do you think the Americans or the Christians do not trust the Muslim people? What did the Muslims do to the Americans, causing them to mistrust the Muslims? Maybe September 11. Maybe 1400 years of killing and kidnapping Christians and Jews throughout the world. You see, I believe 220 years ago, in the days of Thomas Jefferson, the American people were learning about the early days of mistrusting the Muslim people. These are the Muslims of just happened to be four countries: the Moroccan, the Algerian, the Tunisian, and the Libyan. And what is so amazing that during these years, the American people were giving aid to all these Muslims. That is the giving of $1 million every year, which was 1/8 of the income of America at the time. Why we were given that aid? Because we were simply naive people. And instead of the Muslim people taking that aid and appreciate us, no, their Muslim pirates were kidnapping our ships, killing our men, and taking our women as slaves and stealing our goods. That's why Mr. Thomas Jefferson, 220 years ago, read the Quran and he decided to go to war with these countries. And that war lasted 5 years. So now we know why the mistrust started over 200 years ago. It started when Muslims were practicing Islam. That's exactly what Thomas Jefferson learned when he read the Quran. And sadly, we the American people forgot this history. Similar to that, September 11 is not a lesson to be forgotten. But sadly, many of the Americans until today do not know why September 11 took place. And this can only be understood by the reading of the Quran like Thomas Jefferson did years ago. Instead, we are being deceived by smooth talkers like Imam Omar Sliman, and we will trust him, and we will trust the MSA, that is the Muslim Student Association, a Muslim Brotherhood jihadi organization which exists in America as a non-profit organization. Imam Omar continued to say, if we are able to get past that, what? The mistrust. We are able to not only find the similarities that we can cooperate on and also discuss these differences in that same spirit of love and understanding. I'm sorry, Imam Omar Sliman, there are no similarities between us. And we'll be talking about that in our next broadcast, if the Lord is willing. And I don't think you can put spirit of love and understanding to any of our differences. I mean, what Christian is able to compromise the differences of the Christian belief and the Muslims' belief about God? You Muslims believe God is one. Allah, who has no son, who does not have a spirit. Even though the Quran talks about the spirit of Allah and the word of Allah, who became human. And that is what is written in Quran 4, 171. How can we compromise the difference between our God, the triune God, and your Allah? Especially when we know that your Allah in the Quran ordered you as Muslims to kill Christians like us because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He is God Almighty who came in the flesh. How can we have spirit of love in this one important difference? For you as Muslims, you must hate me and kill me because I believe in my God. How can you put the hatred and the commands of your Allah and Muhammad throughout the Quran and the Hadith aside that you may treat me with the spirit of love and understanding? Imam Omar ended this paragraph by telling us, come to a place that we can harmonize these particulars and not essentially further polarize our society. I'm sorry, you can pretend that everything is wonderful between Islam and Christianity, between Muslims and Christians, but this is simply a lie. And Muslims will continue to use this technique until they have the upper hand. Can't we learn from the early lesson which was given by Muhammad himself to the Jews and the Christians who lived in Mecca? For 13 years, he pretended to be their neighbor and their friend, the man to live with them with the spirit of love and understanding. And then behold, he left Mecca and he emigrated to the city of Medina, and behold, 9 years later, he came back to the same city with 10,000 soldiers. And what did he do? He literally killed all the Jews and all the Christians who lived in Mecca. The churches and the synagogues were wiped out. And from that day until today, there is no a church or a synagogue in Saudi Arabia. And this is exactly what is coming to America. This is exactly what is coming to your church. And to continue our study of United We Fall, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.